Our study tonight is out of the book of Amos, chapter 7, verses 1 through 17, the limit of God's forbearance with Israel. When God needed a messenger to the kingdom of Israel, as it was at the height of its rebellion against him, the Lord sent Amos, it was a layman from Judah, to go north to Israel to voice severe judgment against that nation. Well, God was warning Israel through Amos to repent. His patience had a limit because Israel's sin needed to be punished. Amos 7:1-17 teaches the limit of God's patience, so we view it for our insight and application. I'd like to read the chapter, and then we'll look at it. Amos chapter 7. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, he formed actually locusts in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. And lo, it was the latter growth after the king's share. And it came to pass that when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob rise? For he is small. So the Lord relented of this. It shall not be, said the Lord. Thus has the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep, and did eat up a part. Then said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise, for he is small? The Lord relented of this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord God. So he showed me a third vision, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall, or stood by a wall, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with a sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to King Jeroboam the second of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer or prophet, go, flee thee away back to the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and there prophesy. But don't prophesy again any more in Bethel, for it is the king's chapel or the king's worship place. It is the king's court. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, Go prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be an harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, that would be a Gentile land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth from his land. All right. To display his forbearance with Israel, God gave the prophet Amos two visions about great destructions that God could bring upon Israel, only to let Amos plead successfully with the Lord not to perform them. It's very interesting. God did this with Moses. God said, out of my way, let me just destroy them. And Moses said, please, Lord, don't. So, and the Lord relented at that point as well. But first, God revealed his forbearance with Israel by way of a vision of destroying locusts. Amos saw God prepare swarms of locusts at the most vulnerable time of the year, when the locusts would produce the greatest threat to Israel's survival. The locusts were being released after the king's share had been harvested and the second crop for the people was growing. See what happened? The king would get the first shot, the crop of the hay as it grew up. That would be his. And then the people would get the second crop. So the locusts are coming after the first crop has been harvested and the second crop is on the way up. Now you can see what's going to happen. If the locusts eat the second crop, the people don't have any food. If the people don't have any food, the nation kind of collapses. So it's a rough event that he's predicting right here. The locusts were being released after the king's share had been harvested and the second crop for the people was growing. The second crop was the last one before the summer's dryness. So if it were lost to locusts, the people would have nothing to eat until the next harvest, creating a famine. When Amos saw the locusts strip the land in his vision, anticipating the people would starve were this vision to become a reality, he begged to God to forgive Israel's sins, for she would never survive such a punishment. It's interesting, to this day, locust plagues are very terrifying to the people in the Mideast because they know it's their livelihood. It cleans them out, it's clunks. So God mercifully relented, promising that a swarm of locusts would not destroy Israel. So second, God revealed his forbearance with Israel by way of a vision of a destroying fire. The Lord showed judgment by fire, intensifying the blazing summer heat till all the grasslands and the trees become tinder dry, and fires broke out and spread in every direction. I know the Bible Knowledge Commentary mentions the word deep here. Apparently, what would happen is the Lord would allow the summer heat to come and the shine and then dry up the water fountains, so apparently there would not even be water down in the water table below. So there really would be dryness. And then if a fire breaks out when it's really dry, you know, it's a fire hazard and it's really, really tough. Around here, I've heard, especially in the fall, when there's a fire in danger, and sometimes in the spring when there's a fire danger, it's pretty scary because we've got a lot of woods that can burn up very, very quickly. So it's important to have rain. Well, anyway, Amos begged God to relent of this vision's judgment, for Israel would never survive it. God mercifully relented of this punishment, demonstrating his forbearance with Israel. However, in a third vision, that of a plumb line, God gave no room for Amos to intercede, but he determined to punish Israel with an unalterable punishment for her rebellious sins of idolatry. In the third vision, Amos saw the Lord standing beside a wall with a plumb line in his hand. Now, normally we would think of a plumb line that is being used to build a wall, and it's true, the plumb line was. That's where they have a lead weight at the bottom of a line. You hold the line up like that, and you build the wall, often a brick wall, right up plumb against it. But here he's standing by a wall that's already built. The reason for that, in the ancient Near East, often walls could change, they could settle, and they would kind of turn. And if a wall kind of turned and became tipping a little bit, it became dangerous because it could collapse and hurt people. So they would put a plumb line up to see what the walls were like. And if the wall was leaning off too much, they would destroy the wall or tear it down and either rebuild it or rebuild somewhere else. So this is a picture that God is using of putting a plumb line by Israel, seeing if they're still upright or not. So a plumb line was a cord with a lead weight used not only to build walls straight up, but to test existing walls to see whether they had settled and tilted, needing to be torn down. So the Lord was setting a plumb line, likely the law and its requirements, among his people in Israel. For though the nation had been built true to plumb, it was now out of line and needed to be torn down due to her waywardness from the standards of the Mosaic law. So God added that Israel's idolatrous places of worship would be torn down, and God would cause the house of Jeroboam II, who promoted and practiced this idolatrous worship, to be slain. Well, the Lord did not let Amos beg for mercy with this punishment, for God had determined to perform it. It's interesting, God got to the point and said, now, I'm just letting you know this is going to happen. There's no room here for repenting or asking me for mercy. Now, what's interesting is to illustrate how valid was God's decision to punish Israel for her idolatry, a conversation that then occurred between Amos and the king's royal chaplain, Amaziah, was included in the text that follows the vision of the plumb line in Amos chapter 7, verses 10 to 17. This is an illustration that shows why the plumb line was such a valid illustration. Hearing Amos's pronouncement of the vision of the plumb line, Amaziah told Jeroboam II that Amos was raising a conspiracy against him and the nation of Israel. He wasn't. All he was doing is predicting, you know, what was going to happen. He wasn't saying there was going to be a conspiracy. Amaziah then told Amos, go back home to Judah to do his prophesying there, not at Bethel, the sanctuary established by Jeroboam the first, for that was the temple of the northern kingdom. Now I can see why he's telling him to go back. Amos is just a layman, he's not a prophet, and he's not refined. He's just blunt, he comes right out. It's kind of like Elijah the prophet, you know, dressed in his camel skin, walking into Ahab in his finery and saying, it's not gonna rain until I say it's gonna rain. He marches out, and you know, that would aggravate the king. Well, this is what Amos is doing. He was not really that elaborate in his approach. He was rather blunt, rather direct, and that irritated Amaziah, and they said, you're from Judah, go back to Judah, prophesy down there, eat food down there, just get out of here, go back. This is the king's palace, this is where the king worships. So Amos replied that he was neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but a shepherd and a caretaker of sycamore fig trees whom the Lord had sent north from Judah to prophesy to Israel. This is something we can always take comfort on. Amos did not pretend to be something that he wasn't. He says, yep, I'm a layman. So God called me and he told me to come up here and tell this to you. So you got a problem with God, man. So he's gonna lay the law down on him. So Amos predicted that Amaziah's rebellion against the Lord and rejecting the message of the plumb line would result in Amaziah's wife becoming a prostitute to earn a living, his children being slain, his land being divided up, and that he would die as a captive in a pagan land while Israel went into exile. Each one of these things would be a traumatic problem for this priest. Well, Amos himself thus saw how God's judgment had to fall on Amaziah. It's an example of Israel's rebellion. So at this particular point, you know, with Amaziah critiquing Amos the way he was, Amos himself could see God has to judge. He really has to judge because he could see the wickedness. It hit him. So though God was forbearing with Israel, her rebellious idolatry left him no choice but to punish her. So in application, may we repent as needed to avoid God's eventual sure punishment, for there's a limit to the patience of God. God's patience is great, but it's not forever. His righteousness demands he's got to judge. Now, if God lets us be clearly wronged by another party, he may well be showing us his need to punish that party. And sometimes the Lord will open our eyes by our having to face mistreat from another party. He'll do that sometimes to teach us. Many times I've had to face this, and I've learned from that. And the Lord's indicating, well, don't you do that, Don, you know, kind of a thing. It's very easy to learn something when you face something like that, how not to do something, because it strikes very, very clearly. But this was teaching the prophet Amos that God had no choice. God does not delight in punishing, but he will if he has to. But what he did, he taught his prophet the importance of, I've got to lower the boom, because this wasn't nice for you to take, was it? So I'm going to lower the boom. So it's very interesting. God is a very gracious God. He's a very forbearing God. But there is a limit. There is a limit. And we need to remember that and adjust accordingly.